Hi, my lovely listener, this is Véronique, your host. So before I introduce you to the next guest, I want to make a little announcement. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now, and I have a new path in my life, and this is fantastic. I love it, and I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, I do virtual sound bath because I know a lot of you are listening from abroad. So we can do Zoom, we can do YouTube. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and inner peace, offer virtual one-on-one sound healing sessions and online group sound bath designed to help you release stress and restore balance, and using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guided meditation, each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. So if you're ready to shift your energy and raise your vibration, visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Hello. Today I speak with Sue Erhardt. She is the author of Lose Your Critic for Good, a step-by-step process for reclaiming your spirit. As a retired corporate executive leader at a large company and lawyer by training, Sue is also the creator of Practical Spirituality, a platform where she helps people navigate their personal spiritual journeys to find not only fulfillment, but great success too. Drawing from her experiences, Sue shows her followers an easier path after doing it the hard way. Hello, hello. Hi, Sue. How are you today?
I am wonderful and delighted to be chatting with you.
Oh, me too. Thank you very much. Today, we're going to talk about spirituality, which I love. And also, we're going to talk about auto-criticism, that little voice inside us that sometimes needs to shut down, self-doubt, sabotaging ourselves. So you describe yourself as a practical spiritual practitioner. So please explain.
Well, first and foremost, I'd say I'm a writer, but the topic I love to write on and I love to teach and talk about is practical spirituality, because spirituality is full of practical tools that you can use to better your life starting today. And once you step into this understanding of yourself as spirit and understanding some of the tools that I teach, it's just a really fun way to live. And I love getting the word out and spreading that through my newsletter, my blog, and most recently through a book that I wrote about losing your critic.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the book. So in your book, So Lose Your Critic for Good, so you outline a step-by-step process, right? So is there maybe like one key step that you will recommend to our listeners to begin practicing like today?
We can get into that. I can share some tips and tricks with your listeners. I would love to have them start this work. But let me just tell you that the book is not one action step. Because we all know this, to change a habit of thought, which is what self-criticism is, it's a habit of thinking, you need to try lots of different tools and techniques before you break the habit for good. So the way the book is organized, it's organized as a 28-day program to help you lose the critic. And the idea that we're working on is we're going to tear down these thought patterns of criticism, and then we're going to build up and allow your authentic spirit to come through. And we do that through a daily essay. So you read the essay in the book, the writing that I have, and you let these ideas seep into your consciousness. And then I give you a discrete exercise to do each day to work on tearing down the critic.
Mm. Yeah, because you describe like your inner critic as living rent-free in your head, right?
Yes.
So when were you first aware that, oh, there's a presence, I'm criticizing myself way too much, and You know, what shifted for you in that moment?
So for me, it really started early in my career. I'm a lawyer by background, and I've always been someone who's been a high achiever, a striver, somebody who sought to meet the expectations of others, sought to perform well and achieve well. And I noticed early in my career that I was spending a lot of time, what I called rehearsing and replaying. Okay. And we all do this. So the rehearse would be before I even got to the conversation, I'm playing over in my head. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? How are they going to respond? How am I going to? So a lot of rehearsing. And then I'd have the meeting, and then I'm lying in bed trying to go to sleep, and I go into replay. Let me replay the entire thing. Okay.
Oh God.
I know.
This is so accurate.
I know. And I started noticing that there were a lot of people who didn't do that. And I'll be really honest with you. Most of those who I saw who failed to do that were men. And it kind of bugged me. It kind of bothered me. I was like, and so I'm also I'm a practical and efficient person. And I just realized, I'm like, I am wasting a lot of my energy on the rehearse and the replay. And so I just got really interested in getting rid of these habits. And I got to tell you, once I did, my life and my career success took off.
Yeah.
And that was the big aha moment for me. I thought criticism and pushing myself and navigating life by rehearsing and replaying led to success. But it was like success at this low level. And once I broke free of those patterns and really let my authentic spirit shine through, which is something I love to teach people, my career success went to levels that, I mean, were just fantastic. And my happiness improved, my confidence improved, my clarity improved. I mean, so many things improved simply by doing the work of losing the critic.
But how do you know most of them were men? How do you know that?
Well, first of all, I was in environments where likely there were more men than women. Yeah. So first of all, there's my sample set. Okay. But also I even noticed the way they moved through their work or how they talked about it. And they were positive role models for me. I mean, I was very glad to have them, but it was just one of those things that I really, it irked me. I was like, how is it I'm spending all this time preparing and you can just saunter into the room and be confident? And I saw it, and that irking was a great motivation for me to take a look at myself and take a look at own my thought patterns and what I was doing. And in that ownership and taking responsibility for my own thoughts, I broke free.
Mm. So would you say that when you say you did it the hard way, is that how you would describe it? For instance, if you would talk to your younger self, would you say, okay, don't rehearse, don't do all of this, don't waste your time so much?
So I would say I spent far too much time in life early in my career doing what I thought was expected of me, doing what I thought would make my employer or manager happy, and then settling for what I had and thinking that it was enough. So that's another thing that I teach, is that the critic is more than just self-criticism. The self-criticism is the really obvious critic, but the critic also shows up when we settle and say, oh, what I have is enough. I'm fine. Okay. That's the critic. That's a settling mentality and not going after what you truly want. Some people have a critic who tells them that everyone else in their life is more important than they are. So they run around and seek to tend to other people and caretake without taking care of themselves. That's a critic mentality. These are all false thinking that are running our lives.
I know. We always, especially as women, right? We take care of other people before us. So how did you go from a lawyer to a spiritual helper?
Well, I know everybody likes to have a story, like I had some big aha moment, but the reality of life is that New things happen when you take baby steps towards something. And what I did, I hit midlife. My kids were teenagers and were needing me less. And I really was at the top of my career. I liked my job, but I wasn't necessarily stimulated in it. And yes. I decided to just start writing. And I did it purely for myself. It was a midlife project that was a little bit different for me because I sat back and said, I'm going to do this just for fun. I'm going to start writing. And when I first started writing, I would write essays and then I would use my email and I'd schedule the essay to be sent to me on a future date that I randomly picked. So I was literally writing and then sending it to myself and then reading it and having a ball. I mean, I would get one of these emails that would pop in when I didn't expect it and I would get to read something and I just loved it. And it gave me the confidence to go out to a group of friends and say, if I start a weekly newsletter, would all of you subscribe to it? And so again, baby step led to baby step led to baby step. And next thing I knew, I was writing a book, I was publishing a book, and now I have followers all over the world who read my weekly newsletter on practical spirituality, and I have people telling me that my book is changing their life.
Wow, this is great. And this little trick to sending yourself an email, that's so, I never heard of that before. Yeah, it's a great idea.
It is. It's like getting a personal newsletter from yourself. I'm the kind of person where when I, let's say I listen to a podcast and I just get this really great idea, I love to sit and write it out. And then, like I said, send it to myself a random date in the future. And then it'll come back to me. And I got to tell you, there's something about the universe. It comes back to me at a time when I need to hear those words. It's a cool technique.
Do you remember sometimes what's in the email? Or sometimes you're like, oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, I almost always have forgotten about it. Almost always. I mean, it's I don't know if it's midlife brain or if it's parts of me that say, let's forget about this until it comes back. But it's a fun way to interact with yourself.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. So practical spirituality, so how that really differ from a traditional approach to personal growth, to spiritual practice?
So what I really emphasize to people is that spirituality is useful to your life. It's not just something where you go over here and you worship. It's something that if you bring in these spiritual tools into your daily life, it's practical, it's useful, you'll be happier, you'll be clearer. I mean, there's just a wealth of resources there. And I feel like so many people run away from spirituality because they think it's about forced rules or holding yourself back or even demeaning yourself. And I frankly, my belief is it's exactly the opposite. And I want to get the word out that practical spirituality exists. It's there for you.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even consider not being spiritual or not having thinking that there's something up there helping me, or if I need help, I can pray or I can meditate or, you know, even manifest. People who don't believe in anything, I don't know how they live. Seriously. I mean, they live, of course, but it's so hard when you think you're alone, right?
Yes, it is hard when you think you're alone. And I got to tell you, I was somebody who was raised in a traditional religion and I had just a lot of screwy thoughts around what spirituality was. And I took myself on a personal spiritual journey and really decided for myself what I believe. And once I got there, I really did get there and say, I wish somebody had told me sooner that this was so helpful, that I could, that it was helpful in my career search, that it was helpful in how I navigated work situations, that it's helpful in my relationships. It's just so, so helpful. And that's what I love to teach people are the different tools that they can implement today to change their life.
Yeah. Do you recommend a lot of journaling? I think that should be part of it.
I do. I think journaling. So I think either journaling or speaking, both of them, if you think about it, most of us go through our days with a lot of amorphous thoughts all over going on in our head. When you take a moment to either speak or journal, you take all those ambiguous thoughts and you push them into words. And when you push them in the words, you can see them. You can touch them. You can make a decision of, am I going to let myself think that way? Is that, you know, you're going to ask yourself, is that what I really believe? Or is that just some talk track that I let run loose in my head? Because we all do that, right? We get annoyed with somebody, we feel slighted, and we're over there cooking dinner. And next thing we know, you know, we've already prosecuted that person and we've said, you know, we let our minds go. And if you force yourself to sit and either speak or write, you're going to look at those thoughts and say, no, that's not what I really think. That's not what I really think. So I do recommend journaling, but there are many different ways. I wouldn't want any of your listeners to be deterred if they aren't writers, because you can speak into your phone and get a voice memo. You can write with bulleted lists. I mean, there's lots of ways to do this introspective work that you can find your way.
It's true that when you think about something and you sit in writing, you're like, oh no, this is going too far. This is way too much. Because I remember I used to wake up sometime in the morning, a long time ago, I'm not like that anymore, but being already mad against somebody.
Yes.
Who did something wrong to me. And after, I was thinking to myself, why are you that mad about that person? That happened, by the way, 2 years ago.
Yeah. No, and what I always remind myself of, and I do have to remind myself, when another person triggers me, the trigger is in me. And it's mine to tend to, and it's mine to figure out what it means for my life. It has nothing to do with them.
And especially then, those people, sometimes they don't even think about you, right? They're already, you know, already passed, but gone, or they're already, they have already moved on with their lives. So why waste time with this kind of thoughts? So stupid.
Yeah, it is. I will say, though, I think our universe is divinely ordered. And I think when something really annoys us, that's what it's meant to do, to annoy us, to get our attention. And for me personally, when I'm annoyed, frustrated, bothered, whatever it is, that negative emotion, normally one of two things is happening. Either I have some sort of want or desire that person is triggering and I'm repressing it. And so it annoys me because I'm repressing the desire, or I have some sort of limiting belief and that person is caught bringing that limiting belief to life. In either case, it resides in me, and it's my work to either surrender the limiting belief or anchor to and own up to my personal desire.
Okay, so do you have like group session, one-on-one session to help people? I think I saw one-on-one session on your website. Do you think it's better sometimes to do a group something? Because sometimes people like to know that I'm not the only one in the situation.
Yes, I do occasionally run group cohorts through different programs and courses that I have. I don't have one active today, but I'm always open to people reaching out and talking about that. I do offer one-on-one consultations, but the way my work is, I really believe that people, this is a journey between you and you. And so I am there to help point you in different directions to say, think about this course, read this book, look at this. And I'm here to help shepherd you, but it's work between you and you. So if you go to my website, I have a lot of resources. You can read blog posts. You can read my newsletter. You can get started on this journey today simply by taking in some of the content and some of the ideas.
Okay. And if people just buy the book, can I just do it with the book? Because there's a lot of step in there.
Absolutely. And I've heard from many people who really enjoyed working their way through the book. Some have done it in a month. Some have spent a few months doing it. It's there for you. I see the book as something that you could work through and then live your life. And then a year later, you could pick it up again and go through all of the exercises again, and you would reach an even higher level of vibration, of feeling good, of knowing yourself, of loving yourself. There's so many layers to each of us that it's really fun to keep exploring your own levels of consciousness.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
And you know, there's any help yourself book out there. So do you know, I mean, what would be something like a solution that you think, no, that doesn't work, that we see everywhere? Is that something that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I'll come with one that might be even controversial. Setting a goal and forcing yourself to do something you do not enjoy or you do not want. Our culture celebrates this. When people do something that is hard against their energy and something they do not want, we pat them on the back. We say job well done. And what I would say to you, you are denying your own energy. You are denying your own inner wisdom. You are denying your intuition, and you are building a wall between you and you every time you force yourself to do something. So that would be one thing that I think that a lot of self-help people teach. Like they'll say, well, put it on your calendar next Tuesday at 10 a.m. that you're gonna make these 5 phone calls and get 5 new clients. And if that is draining you, if that is in any way against what you truly desire, you're not doing yourself a favor. Now, I'll be clear. I'm someone who, if there's fear, I do believe in taking action, even if there's fear. But so many of us, I think, take action when we haven't really gotten clear on our goal or what we want. We're just taking action for the sake of taking action. And we think that that's a good thing. And it's not.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can be misguided, right? By other people, or sometimes you look at other people, oh, they were able to be very successful. How did they do it? They would let you know, but maybe it's not for you, right? So you don't have to follow everybody else's way of doing something. You have to find what's right for you.
Yes. I feel like so many of us, we all want to know, like, what's your morning routine? That's a question a lot of people ask. Like, what's your morning routine? Because people think, well, if I do the same 10 steps that you do, then I can achieve those same results. But the difference is, you know, I'll even tell you, my morning routine is filled with activities I absolutely love to do, that I take great joy in doing, that I have an internal motivation to do. And I actually feel off if I don't do my morning routine. It's that valuable to me. And each of us needs to find that for ourselves, not by copying what somebody else does.
Yeah. Yeah. Because your morning routine might not be something I like to do. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. How would you really like shut down that autocritic? You know, we always, because I was talking with another guest a few months ago, and she was telling me that we have, I don't know how many thoughts in the day in our mind, and like 70% or 80% is negative. So, you know, you're born, you're a child, you're very happy, and then something happened, you go into life, you become a little bit negative, and as an adult, most of your thoughts are negative. How would you shut down this autocritic? I think you talked about one step earlier. So I don't know, what would you tell someone to just calm down?
Well, I'd say it takes a multifaceted approach. And I'll talk about here in a moment just one thing that your listeners could try. But let me just back up and say, one of the first steps, though, is you've got to recognize that you are not your thoughts. And that's where people who are good meditators have a leg up on the rest of society, because they're sitting and they're beginning to just center themselves and let those thoughts just pass by without catching them up in them. So you need to do that. You also need to realize that criticizing yourself towards a goal is never a long-term success plan. It just doesn't work. But a lot of people think that. I've had people who wanted to read my book and said to me, well, I can't lose my credit because then I would gain weight or not be successful. Or, I mean, they had all these things, and that is false thinking. So those are two things that you just need to, I would say come to terms with that motivating somebody through criticism never works. But there are very practical things that your listeners can do today, and that's what I want to talk about. So one of the things that I teach is to help people break free of negative thinking is that I recommend they start today with what I call is a log book. Okay? And it's a very simple thing. You grab a notebook, you grab a notepad, whatever it is, and you put the date on and you make a list of things that you did and how you felt when you did them. Okay? So two things, bringing your awareness to what you've done and then writing next to it how you felt when you were doing it. I also encourage you to log or write down any good thing that happens during your day. And a good thing might be, had a great podcast interview. It was really fun. Okay, write it down. Now, this is very basic work, but it is extremely powerful work. Most of us will go through the day and we will have 100 nice things happen to us. And we will get home to the dinner table. And you know what we will tell them? Do you know this jerk cut me off in traffic on the way home today? That is what we will talk about. And we have let our minds become lazy thinkers, where all they notice are the things that irritate them. And you have to retrain your brain to look for the good, to celebrate the good, and to notice how you feel as you do different activities. So my personal way of navigating my life is I do not use a to-do list. Okay? I think to-do lists are lists of actions that I'm not excited to take. If I was excited to take them, I would be doing them. I wouldn't need to keep writing them down and remembering.
That's true.
It's true. So I try to work each day from my energy and from what I'm excited about. And then I log what I did. And so I have a sense of accomplishment that I log what I did. And then I log how I felt. And if you keep up with this, you will begin to see that you have good emotions associated with certain activities. That is wonderful knowledge. Most of us know ourselves through our fears and our negative thinking and not through our desires and what we love. So
interesting, yeah.
So a logbook is something that any one of your listeners could start today. They could finish this podcast and they could sit down and think about everything they did today and they could log it. And I bet they would have a tremendous sense of satisfaction and self-approval just from that one activity.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can, yeah, it's true when you see in writing, right? Oh yeah, I really like doing that. I really like doing that. When you see it, it seems more real. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I see so many people who beat up on themselves for not completing their to-do list. They might check off 10 things, but if there's one box undone, they're like, oh, I didn't do that, or I'm procrastinating this, or again, they're very negative. And those things are against the self. And it's your work as an adult in this world is to celebrate the self, to approve the self, and to make sure that the self is just something that is brought forward and lauded and not beat down.
Yeah, my to-do list is in my mind, though. That's my issue. So every morning I'm like, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I don't do anything, by the way.
So let me give you my best advice. I would take a piece of paper, and I would title it not to do. I would title it could do. Okay. Could do. Again, these lists are not the boss of us. So it's a could do list. Then I would write out the things that are kicking around in your head. Let's say, for instance, you said schedule the dentist. And then next to that, I would write an I want statement to anchor it back to you. So for instance, I would say, I want clean and healthy teeth. And I would make sure that everything on that could-do list had an I want statement, again, to anchor to the reason it's kicking around in your head, to the reason you have it in your life. Because a lot of us just keep kicking these things around without really saying, like, why is it I even have this on my list? So that's my personal view. And I truly do. I title it could-do because I don't want any list to tell me if I'm good or bad or how I'm supposed to feel about myself. It's ridiculous that we allow these lists to tell us how to feel.
Well, that's a good trick. Thank you very much. I'm going to do that now. Yeah. Writing down is very important. And yeah, I could do, or I want, I would like to. Yeah. 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 Changing the narrative then. This way you don't force yourself. It's everything is like, you know, psychologic. It's in your brain. You really have to train and to trick your brain. This is exhausting sometimes.
Well, I think at our cores, we are each freedom loving people. So when you write something on your list, like must schedule dentist, like I think immediately our spirits bristle. I mean, I think immediately our core essence says like, oh no, okay, you know, we're not, there aren't these rules that we have to follow. I think our spirits, our souls are literally saying, we're going to resist this until you reframe it as an optional activity that you are choosing because you have a desire. Fine, but it is not the boss of us. And I really see that as my soul coming forward. I even, when I procrastinate any task, I'm always like, thank you, spirit. You're teaching me something here in this procrastination. And I think it's often that we are freedom lovers.
Yeah, so much. Would you say that that inner voice is not living so rent-free in your mind right now, that you're really better at it?
I would tell you that I still have work to do. Thank God. I think I might be dead if I didn't. So I still have work to do. I have children who I worry about. And so I negative, you know, I worry in negative scenario planning. I have people I love who I wish were a little bit more on their path or listening to me a little bit more. I have things that I see in the world that bring me down. I have all of those things. But what I have now are tools to stop myself in that thinking and then to reframe and utilize that thinking to better my life.
I know. I talk to so many people now, you know, that they give me, they give you good tools, and I'm like, and I'm thinking, oh my God, where were you when I was in my 20s? Because, you know, you really need that when you grow up. And I'm really hoping something, I have kids that I can, you know, help them with giving them some tools to think better in life and to be able to not beat themselves up too much. If they do something, they think it's wrong, or maybe, you know, guiding them a little bit better when they are on their own path. It's so hard. So I'm happy that now there's a lot of people waking up. That's what I think about spirituality, about, like you say, tools and trying not to self-sabotage ourselves. There's a lot of people waking up, and I'm very happy about that because I talk to a lot of people now and I realize there's a lot of us out there now.
I think so too. And I think it is happening one by one. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm sure your listeners are all people who are waking up to their own spirit, and the wealth of resources out there is just fabulous. It's so great.
Yeah, before you only had to go to the library now. Now we have podcasts, we have books, we have internet. It's perfect. Do you have any like success story that maybe you can tell us about someone that, because you say people say, oh, your book saved my life, but something like a good success story for us?
I'll just give you a few. So in general, the stories I hear after people read my book and begin dismantling their critical thoughts, what happens is their spirit sort of comes to life and they suddenly pursue a project or a dream or an interest or something that's been percolating in their life, but for some reason they weren't taking action. So I'll tell you just about one woman. She read through the entire book, raced through to the end, came back, then started doing the exercises and wrote me this long, long email and said, she decided, and she's someone who is a consultant in the business world, she wanted as a project to become a death doula. And she went immediately over to hospice and signed up for the training and started working on this side project that she had dismissed, that she had criticized, that she had held herself back from. And by doing the work, she was immediately took action. And that's what I hear from people all the time. Yeah. So it's small things in their lives. I have another reader who got through the book and realized that her love of photography was real. And she suddenly just dove in and started doing photography, and it improved her life. That's what when you do this work and stop playing small and stop hemming yourself in, your natural spirit sort of bubbles up and you go and you go for it. You go for it.
I mean, this is really interesting. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not an expert in it, but I understand it is people who are coached to help people with the end of life and to get through it and those who are in hospice to help them through that whole situation. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. There are so many wonderful things that people are naturally interested in, and our critics are telling us that's a silly idea. Don't go after that. Our critics are saying no one would ever pay you for that, or that would be too far out there. And when you do the work of letting go of the critic, something's going to pop out of you naturally that you want to do.
I never heard about that before. This is really intense also, you know, to that kind of job. Wow. I mean, good for her and good for, you know, for her to helping people to give, you know, your energy to people at that time of their lives. That's really, must be very hard. Do you have maybe something you want to add? A question I didn't ask for the listeners?
No, I think if my listeners want to start with some of my content, they can sign up for my free weekly newsletter. It is a progression of essays to help you find your connection with your true self. Comes out every Sunday morning.
And you have a podcast also, right?
Yes, I do have
You're reading the essay,
yeah,
right?
Yes, I do have a podcast as well.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay. So I would put everything in the show notes. This way they can just click on the links and contact you if they need it, get your newsletter or the podcast, or do you know your training? Because I'm sure a lot of people need it for sure. Well, thank you very, very much, Sue, for the conversation. I loved it. Appreciate it. Learn even more things that, you know, than yesterday. I'm learning every day. I love it. That's why I love having that podcast and all my guests. I really thank you very much.
I thank you as well. You are lovely.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks. Bye, listeners. Bye-bye. Hi, my lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening to my last episode. I really appreciate it. Some of you already know I'm a sound healer now and I have a new path in my life. And this is fantastic. I love it. And I really want to share my gift with you. So if you're interested about having a sound bath, or if you want to know about sound bath, you can just send me an email. I will put everything in the show notes. And this way you can have a look and just contact me through my website. So if you're looking to relax, realign, and reconnect with your inner peace, let's have a virtual sound healing sessions designed to help you release stress and restore balance using the pure tones of crystal singing bowls and guiding meditation. Each session is a deeply calming experience from the comfort of your own space. Shift your energy and raise your vibration. Visit my website, harmoniousechoes.com, to book your session today.